used to say, man, every time I go down the street, I see these old people, and there, I see all these people, they're gonna be replaced. The homeless person on the corner, he has to be replaced. The drug dealer has to be replaced. The business owner has to be replaced. The landlord who kept telling us we had to move before we get evicted, he need to be replaced. And as a young man, I said, I'm gonna become the landlord. I'm gonna own stuff. People are not gonna tell me where to come and go. I'm gonna be the owner.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oglesby and Scott Show. This podcast holds the belief that business and investing are team sports. We drop gems to help you turn your capital into generational legacy. We're sharing with you the best stories of successful African-American business owners and entrepreneurs.
This episode is sponsored by Hood Estates. Hood Estates is offering a Hood Estates Elite Real Estate Investing Program, as well as a Hood Estates Trekking Program. All the details can be found in the show notes. You can also find them on Instagram at Hood Estates.
Want more money to pay off debt and increase your income? I'm Terry Igioma from Invest with Terry, and I teach an online course on how to invest in the stock market for daily or weekly returns. My 7-step strategy saves you time and erases the guesswork from trading. With these 7 steps, I've earned over $16,000 in a day without having a large account. Start big or small, these proven steps will increase your profits and decrease your losses. To learn more, visit itradeandtravel.com.
And now, here are your hosts, Ms. Flippin' in Heels, Roshana Scott, and Mr. Time Millionaire himself, Charles Oglesby.
So this is the Oglesby and Scott Show. My name is Charles Oglesby, also known as Top Millionaire. Thank you guys all for tuning in. The purpose of this podcast is to share the stories of successful African-American business owners and investors so that people can hear the stories of successful examples, because they do exist. We want people to learn that business and investing are the true keys to financial success and generational wealth. Today, we have Kair from KJ Consulting. He owns a massive portfolio, and they also do some education on the side as well. I've been seeing them just kind of do some really cool things, and actually came as a referral from Sam over at the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. He reached out to me specifically and said, hey, you want these guys on the show. So definitely happy to have him. Welcome to the show, man.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here. I like the content you guys are putting out. So it's always good to be in good company and definitely celebrating Black excellence and entrepreneurship and investors out there. So I'm pretty cool. I'm honored to be in the presence of someone pushing out the positive stories in our community.
What part of the country are you in?
I am in Manhattan, New York City.
Oh, wow. And are your properties in New York, or are they in different states?
So my properties, I own 105 rental units. All of them are in Pennsylvania, but my business partner, he owns some properties in his name in Indiana.
Okay, cool. So before we get into your real estate journey, one of the questions that let's do this. Can you give people a quick introduction of who you are?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Philadelphia, 6 siblings, single parent household. My mother raised us. We were extraordinarily poor. And what I mean by that, we were on welfare and we lived paycheck to paycheck. We moved around a lot. So I got to know Philadelphia really, really well. And I remember one story very vividly when I was a young lad. We had an elementary teacher bring us food because our house had burnt down. We were living in the living room, so we basically were poor. And I remember she brought a big bucket of KFC, and she brought 2 sides. She forgot my coleslaw. I was really upset, but beggars can't be picky. But I remember that because I was maybe like 6 or 7 or something like that. And I remember eating the original chicken, which is my favorite. So if I ever see you, please bring the original chicken. And I was looking up at the stars. The whole third floor was missing because that's where the house caught on fire. So you could see the stars. And I said, from that moment, I want to build a legacy and I want financial freedom. And I never want to be this poor ever again. And so from being very poor, I worked my butt off going to public school and graduated valedictorian first in my high school class. And then I got a full presidential scholarship to Bowdoin College, study history and English. And then I explored a finance food chain on Wall Street every summer, took a job at Goldman Sachs doing investment banking, where I was one out of like 5 African-Americans in the front office of 300 analysts that came into the program, 2-year program. And then I went to go work for a hedge fund in Boston covering U.S. home builders and European financials and U.S. financials. And after that, I went to business school, got my MBA from one of the Ivy Leagues at Dartmouth, and been working on Wall Street, retired recently, and been investing since 2009.
So when you were working at these super advanced firms, were you still investing on the side, or was that something, a whole new career?
So the game plan was, I always say there's three forms of capital. One is intellectual capital. And so I went to a public school that wasn't that good. So when I went to college, I had to get my high school education and my college education in those 4 years. So that's like what you learn from your teachers and coaches. So I wanted to get that intellectual capital first. The next thing was the financial capital. And I got the financial capital. And what that is that's the money that you earn from your job or doing things on the side. So I wanted to get that financial capital. And the third thing was the social capital. And what social capital is, you're using relationships. And so what I said is that I'm going to go get a job that's going to pay me the most amount of money. So I went to Goldman Sachs, did investment banking, so I can learn mergers and acquisitions, how to run a business. So I get that intellectual capital and that financial capital. Then when I left Goldman Sachs, I turned in 2009, I said I was working for a hedge fund. And in 2009, that was when I bought my first rental property in 2009. And I bought a foreclosed property and said, I'm going to buy individual properties until I get enough capital to buy apartment buildings. So I went from one building in 2009, one house. Then in 2018, I owned 9 single family rentals. And then in 2019, I owned 35 rentals. And then in 2020, I owned 105 rental units. So I went from owning, basically from being extraordinarily poor to extraordinarily wealthy. And it was while I was also maintaining my job. So I didn't retire from Wall Street until August 31st, 2020. Because what I wanted to do was put the money aside from the real estate business and live off my 9-to-5. Because I think the real way you achieve financial freedom is by being very methodical and very logical and having a game plan and execute it. If you don't have a plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah. So you're doing all this on Wall Street, and Wall Street is mostly known for stocks. Why did you turn towards real estate?
So what I realize is, I always tell people I have a PhD in being a tenant, because my mother and my siblings, we moved around so damn much. I used to say, man, every time I go down the street, I see these old people and I see all these people. They're going to be replaced. The homeless person on the corner, he has to be replaced. The drug dealer has to be replaced. The business owner has to be replaced. The landlord who kept telling us we had to move before we get evicted, he need to be replaced. And as a young man, I said, I'm going to become the landlord. I'm going to own stuff. People are not going to tell me where to come and go. I'm going to be the owner. And so for me, I was always driven to figure out, why can't we be the owners of the properties in our communities? Yeah. And so that was the thing that really served as the impetus for me to go after becoming an investor.
Hey, ladies, this is Rashana Scott. And are you looking for a community of women real estate investors? If so, I want to take a quick second to share with you Infinity Membership. Sorry, fellas, but Infinity Membership is a women's only online community for newbie and experienced investors. Come let your hair down and join a non-judgment zone sisterhood where all of your questions about investing in real estate get answered. This is also an opportunity to learn from the best of the best. Other seasoned and successful women in the industry share their success tips often. Our live group sessions are twice a month, and we support each other daily within our private Facebook group. Our sessions range from driving for dollars, to working with contractors, to out-of-state investing, raising private capital, marketing your deals, and so much more. Does this sound like something that you've been looking for? Well, we would love to have you. For more information, visit us at bit.ly/infinity membership. Again, that's bit.ly/infinity membership.
Todd Consulting presents the Vending Machine Business Webinar. You can only have one job, but you can have as many vending machines as you want. This is your chance to see how we do business and how you can start your very own vending machine business. Avoid the mistakes we made and start winning. You'll be shown how we find, negotiate, buy, and manage our vending machine business, generating thousands per month, and how it has unlimited scale. To find out more details, hit us up on the link in the bio, on Instagram at partnerwithmilly, or on Instagram at todd.capital, or just head over to gumroad.com/toddcapital.
And so your strategy was get the education, get the most high paying job that you can get, and then start using that money to invest. So what did that first deal look like finance wise?
So my first deals, all my first deals were pretty much small relative to my big deal. So I'll give an example. I bought like a RLE property, which is a bank owned property off of like auction.com for like $22,000. And then I spent $17,000 to fix it up. So that's for the labor and the supplies. So right there, I was able to invest, let's say the 22 plus the 17, you get to a number that's under like a little bit over 40,000 all in. And then the house is valued at $115,000. And so I was able to take $85,000 out. That $85,000, assume I did the same process for 10 times. So now you have $850,000 sitting aside. You're able to use that money to put a down payment on a property. So I have bought like my triplex. I bought it for $195,000, let's say $200,000. You're going to need at least, let's say 30% down to make the numbers easy, $60,000. That $60,000 down payment can come from that $22,000 property that I just bought because I got $85,000 cash flow, cash coming out from the refi. I can take 60 of that and put on a down payment of triplex. Then if you buy, I bought a 6-unit for like, let's say $300,000. I paid $325, but say $300, and you have to put 20% down. So now I need another $60,000. So that's why I took my time building out my portfolio because I wanted to own my properties primarily before I decided to partner with anyone. And so I had to start building that cash flow versus going to go flip or going to go buy Gucci shoes and all those different things and live this lavish life. I said, I want to own the money. So The way you own the money is you got to keep it in-house and then you can start buying the property. So that was my approach.
Yeah, that's pretty typical of people who have the investor mindset is they forego all the fancy fun stuff and the immediate so they can get to the big thing. And it's interesting because a lot of people, they'll see somebody who thinks like that and they'll think there's something wrong with them. You're making all this money, Goldman, getting all these homes. How did you stay level-headed when you're surrounded by these people on Manhattan living well and eating well?
Well, the good thing is that I would say one is my family did a good job of teaching me the core values. So you and I may come from different families, but if we have these set of core values, we're one, we want to make sure that we're giving back to our community. So when I got my paycheck, I worked on Wall Street for a summer making $10,000. The thing I did is I came home and gave my sister some money. She was a single mom. So I bought her like a refrigerator and some appliances, took her children out, gave my mother some money. So first I made sure that I take care of my home, give some money to my church. Then I say I want to designate some money to save for investing. So what I did is I came up with a formula saying that you got to pay for your housing. Then you got to put some money away for your nonprofit stuff. And then you want to put some money away for investing. So that was one of the principles. Then I also made sure that I surrounded myself with like-minded people. So my close friends, we all believed that, look, for other people, this is guaranteed. For us, this is not certain. So we want to first focus on the number one rule of investing, in my opinion, is return of capital. And so we got to figure out ways to invest in something where we get the capital to come back to us. So a lot of people are saying, you should invest in Tesla and all these fancy things. When I was young, I was like, look, I want to buy something. The first thing I invested was that single family home that I knew was a rental property because I know it can return money to me. I said, I may not get the biggest money, but I know that money is going to be returned to me. And then I focus on return on the investment. And so now I'm at the point where I'm focused on the return of the investment. So by surrounding myself with like-minded people who always believe that it's better to underpromise, overdeliver. Also, it's better to live and believe, have a belief in delayed gratification. So I do these things in order to be rewarded later. I plant these seeds because I know later they're going to give me the dividends. So that was always my approach from very early on.
Yeah. So you're doing all this. And one thing about podcasts sometimes is they can tell all the glory stories, but what are maybe some mistakes that you made when you were just starting out and some lessons that you learned in the beginning?
I think the lessons that I learned in the beginning, and it's really interesting, is that when you're really young and you're excited, energized, you're taking advice from everybody. And so my dad, I didn't grow up with him, but he was involved in my life later. And so I bought like a rental. I bought this property and I asked my dad and his wife, I said, oh, I'm thinking about buying this property. It's a foreclosed property. And they were like, oh, it's going to be so that prop. That's a good one. Because, you know, foreclosed, you can't go inside of it. So I said, oh, for real? All right, this is good. They said, when you get in there, you're not going. When I got in that building, it was so tore up from the floor up. It was a disaster. And then the other thing is that my dad went in there. I have contractors working and I'm not there at the moment. He goes in there and redirect their efforts. I said, who the hell told him he could come in here and be a supervisor? I didn't even tell him he could be a spectator. So he's going there. It cost me more money to pay them to fix his stuff that he was recommending. I said, no, this is not going to work. So I think that that was one of the biggest things when you start early on. The other thing when you start early on is you're so excited and you're probably not super organized when you first start. But after that first or second property and you say, oh, snaps, I'm going to make sure I keep, this is when the property taxes are due. This is when the mortgage thing is due. Oh my goodness, I got to go get this proper rental license before I get a violation. And so you start, I think that those things all beginners have to get their hands, wrap their head around. So now I have frameworks and best practices, but I think those are some of the mistakes you make early on.
Yeah, 100%. What made you choose the market that you chose to invest in?
Well, the thing is, I always was curious about urban areas. So I went to school outside of Boston. And so I also worked in New York. So when I was in Boston, in the Boston area, I realized that Cambridge was going through a lot of gentrification. And what was happening is that Harvard and MIT kept expanding. And what happened is the property values around those universities start increasing and the violence went down and restaurants and stuff started to open and stores. And so I looked at that area and then I also looked at Harlem and I noticed how Columbia University kept expanding up throughout Harlem and Manhattan. And I noticed the same pattern where the value of property started going up, violence went down, restaurants opened. And this is like 10 or 20 years before what happened in Philly. And so I was in Philly when I come home from school and I'd be like, yo, one day Philly around University City is going to go crazy, like Drexel and University City, University of Penn or what have you. And Temple University, they're going to start expanding in West Philly and North Philly. I was like, if I can buy some of these properties before this thing starts to pop, I'm going to be gold. I'm going to be Gucci. So I had said, if I find some money, I'm buying in these areas in particular. So I own now like 7 properties in the West Philadelphia area, very close to the University of Penn. Because I got in on the front end and I started to look at some of the business plans and how the university would subsidize their employees to invest in the neighborhood and also help them fix up their properties. So I had said what I learned looking at Boston and New York led me to start investing in Philadelphia. But now I invest in the Philadelphia area and in Harrisburg because I created like a framework which is transferable regardless of the market. And that's what I teach in my course.
Nice.
This episode is brought to you by 24/7 Watches. Shop our limited edition luxury watches at 247watches.com. That's TWENTY47watches.com. Use code Todd Capital at checkout for a special discount. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at 247watches. That's at TWENTY47watches.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Erica Williams from the Classy Climb blog. I'm a 6-figure YouTube earner and the author of the book Smartphone Millionaire, How to Lend to People, Real Estate, and Businesses from the Palm of Your Hand. And if you're interested in the 3 things that changed my life over the past 4 years to become a 6-figure YouTube earner and investor in multiple properties in multiple states, I would love for you to join me over at the Classy Climb YouTube channel.
So 105 units, what is the makeup like as far as single families and
okay. So what I own is I own 8 single families in Philadelphia and I own 6 single family rentals in Harrisburg and everything else is, apartment units.
Wow. When did you make the decision? When did you make the decision to jump into apartments?
So it was a very, very thoughtful decision. I was very well aware of what I was doing. So in 2009, I knew that I was going to do the single families up until I can get 10 mortgages and an individual can get 10 mortgages in their own name and hold it at the same time. Once I reached that limit, then I realized that I was going to convert to the apartment buildings. So in 2018, I had 9 single families in my own name. And then in 2019, wow, that's when I went to 35 rental units. So I bought a bunch of apartment buildings in that 1 year. And then in 2020, I bought 70 rental units during the middle of a pandemic, where, wow, I bought a 24 unit, a 12 unit, a 14 unit, a 6 unit, a 9 unit, and 6 single families last year.
So you tripled your portfolio during the pandemic.
Yes, because in 2009, I was a young boy and I was poor. I bought one property. I said, if the world ever come to an end, I promise to God that I am going to go buck wild. I'm going to spend everybody's money. I don't give a damn. I'm never going to miss out on this opportunity to become a multimillionaire. And so when 2020 came, I said, it's the time. I have what I say people need to do in order to elevate or level up to the next level. You got to have the 3 R's. One is you got to have a track record. So you got to prove to banks and other people, you know what the hell you're doing. You know how you're a good investor with real estate and managing teams. 2, you got to have the relationships with the lenders, the contractors, or what have you. And 3, if you have the track record and you have the relationships, you're going to have the reputation of a bad boy. And so I had it all lined up. So I was ready. If you're ready, you don't have to get ready. And so that's how I bought 70 units last year, leveraging my experience and relationships and my reputation.
Wow. So did you put together a syndication, or what did that financing look like?
The vast majority, what's interesting is that the vast majority of my portfolio, as I grew, I was able to use my own money. So out of the 105 units, I own close to 80% of that 105 units. Because of my philosophy was that I want to own stuff on my own and build that cash for the down payment. A lot of people would just do syndication where they own 105 units, but they only own 5% of it. Hell to the no. I did not sign up to be owning a little piece of shit. So excuse my French. So what happened is that, so say for instance, you have $800,000 in cash because you were saving all the money. You can buy a lot of those properties. Like I was saying, you put 60% down for your 5 unit. Then you put 60K down for your 5 unit. You put 60K down for your triplex. Then you go get, I got a 12 unit for 450. Say you have bought that for 500. You put 20% down. That's another 100. So you're taking cash from your own money. And then you start to do some syndication where if I bought a 14 unit and a 6 unit for $1 million, let's assume, and we have to put 20% down. Maybe I'm left with only 100K of my own money. And then my business partner has another 100K. Then we're able to buy that property. So that's why my ownership is pretty high. But I had to do syndication as I ran through my own money to get some of those units.
So if you do a deal where 20% down, you put up 100, they put up 100, is it still 50-50 or are they giving you a loan for that 100 grand?
Oh, and that's something we talk about in my master boot camp. We're going to do a mastermind boot camp where we talk about how you can structure different deals for apartment complexes. So that's a great question. My business partner, Joe, when we first started working together, I always tell people I have to date you before I marry you. And so he was a debt investor. So a debt investor may say, give you, let's say it could be 100 grand if you want, or it could be something small. Depends on the person. But let's say it was 100 grand. Then that person, you can give them interest for 6%, like a promissory note or certificate deposit. At the end of the term, whatever term you make it, you give them the interest, say it's a year, you give them their $6,000 and their $100,000 back. Then you get to keep 100% ownership. So that is an option. You can do that way. But most people, what they would do is they'll say, you get 100, I put 100, we do 50-50. Or if I'm the operator and I'm paying for the CapEx to fix it up, then I get more ownership. I may get 60 or 70%. So the deals, it depends on the deal, how you structure it. So that's a valid question.
Why would somebody want to take a debt instead of an equity position?
So a debt position is the same reason why. Think of someone who may decide to go to the bank and put their $1,000 into a certificate for 5% interest. They just want 5% interest versus someone may take their $1,000 and go put it into an Apple stock or what have you. It's because their risk tolerance. One person is more open to risk. The other person is more conservative. So it just depends on one's risk tolerance. And also some people, they will actually love to get like a dividend. They just want to get some money back. pretty, and they don't want to take any risk. So when you're an equity investor, you have risk. It's not a guarantee that the investment will be good. But when you're like a debt investor, it could be a promissory note, or you can tie it to an asset that guarantees that you'll sell the asset to pay them back first. So the debt investor always get paid back for the equity investor.
Yeah, it's more secure that way.
Hi, how are you? I am Andre C. Hatchett, 15-year mobile notary pioneer and veteran. We have created the Notary Business School, which will show you how to start a successful, long-term, needed business as a mobile notary public. Well, with 15 years of experience and with different downturns in the economy, we have labeled this business as being recession-proof, meaning that you can run this business in any climate, any city, any state in America. On average, our students make between $60 and $250 per appointment, which usually takes under an hour. I'll say that again. On average, our students usually make between $60 and $250 per appointment as a mobile notary public. If you would like to enroll and save a few dollars, go to the website, millienotarypromo.com. That is millienotarypromo.com. Look forward to seeing you in class. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
So with property management, are you managing, I mean, outside, of course, I don't think you're managing the apartment complexes, but the single families the things you...
Oh, yeah, I do. So we have K2 Management, LLC. We manage 85 of the units in the Philadelphia area. My company manages it.
How are you?
Everything from A to Z, which I love. I have a team. And so my team, and the reason why I think it's important to have a team is... What we try to do at KJ Consulting is we're big on, a lot of people talk about generational wealth, but I'm really big on this transformational wealth. And what I mean by transformational wealth is that you're trying to transfer wealth across your family lines in generations versus just up and down. Most people say, I'm buy this to help my next, to help my children. What I want to figure out is how can I help my current generation? So my brother, he has a real estate license and he's my exclusive broker in Philly. So when I do a $1 million deal, he's getting a 3% commission. Not only is he getting money for that, but when he bought his house, I gave him money for his down payment. My other brother gave money for his down payment. So now we're helping the current generation. We're transferring wealth left to right versus always north to south. And the other thing is that my aunt, so she has, she does cleaning or what have you. So we have a partnership. She cleans all my properties, the 85 properties. Then my stepmom is also involved in the business. And my niece is also one of my interns. So what we're trying to do is create that, not only that generational wealth, but that transformational wealth. And so, yes, we do own, we manage the 85 units in the Philadelphia area. We do the landscaping. We find the tenant. We evict the tenant. We fix it up. We do the maintenance. We pretty much keep all the money in-house, certainly in our community. And then in Harrisburg, I have a property manager that takes care of those 20 units. But guess what? We're hands-on. Sometimes the property manager, every time they want to do something over like $100, they have to contact us. And I sent our guys up there, my brother and two of my other guys, to go up there and replace the kitchen faucets, the bathroom faucets, all the shower heads in our 14 unit. So we, and we also sent our other contractor up there to replace one of the water heaters because they gave me an estimate for $1,500. I said, hell to no, I'm having my guys go up there. We can do it for $500. And so it's a beautiful thing when you can control multiple parts of the food chain.
Sometimes when you invest long distance, or if you're investing in kind of rougher neighborhoods, the maintenance and the upkeep can make it difficult to keep that property profitable. Have you experienced that? Or if you have, what have you done?
No, I haven't experienced that because we have a different approach to the way KJ Consulting operate. Is we want the current tenants, we want to change their mindset. The same way we try to teach people how to think like investors, we want the tenants to think like owners. So what we do is we go in and we meet you, the property managers, my team, family members, will go and meet every person one by one and say, hello, my name is not Slim Slady, but you would say my name is, and then you give out a piece of paper and you say, we want you to outline the 10 most important issues in your apartment. Also, we want to let you know there's a new sheriff in town. We don't accept cash. You have to submit your payment on buildium.com, or you can send us a money order. The other thing we do is we also say, are there any tenants in the building that's getting on your nerves that we should be aware of? Because we want a partnership. And within 24 to 48 hours, we come and fix those issues. So we take care of all the deferred maintenance and all of the apartments within 24 to 48 hours. because we want them to know it's a new sheriff in town. And so by doing that, we're knocking out a lot of the maintenance issues, and we're also building trust. And we also ask the tenants to give us a list of their emergency contacts for two reasons. One, if something happens, we want to be able to call them saying that you had an emergency. But two, we want to let your entire family know that you're not paying your damn rent. And we are going to come after you. We will find you. We have a unique set of skills that we will put to work. And so building that up makes our job much, much easier. So we really enjoy getting to know our tenants and helping them change their mindset. And that makes the building operate in a smoother way, because a lot of people in those rough neighborhoods, they really don't care about the tenants. And if you show people that you care, it's like any other type of relationship. You're going to get that in return. And if you don't, then you better drop the people. So we tell people, if you can't pay attention, this is not the place for you. And if you can't pay, you definitely can't stay.
Yeah. What's next for you? You've built so much in the past 12 months, which is impressive. I mean, where do you go from here?
So I think for me, I retired in August of last year. I think for me, it's not, I like to tell people, I'm not self-made. I'm community made. So my community made me. My loved ones, my friends, people that believe in me, people that I work with, they have invested so much in me that for me, my dream is not to make, I'm already worth more millions, multi-millionaire. So my goal is I want to invest. I want to bring everybody that's in my circle. I want to bring them up. I want to elevate them. So I want to make my brothers, my sisters, family members, multimillionaires. And so I want to help them achieve greatness. My coworkers, my friends, my students. The biggest thing for me is how can I help expose people to the knowledge and the best practices that I have? I think that will be the coolest thing. Because it can definitely be lonely at the top. And so I think that that will be the thing for me is how do I teach people the right way? Because you have a lot of people who are just teaching nonsense out here and garbage. I want to teach people how do you get to take baby steps, expose yourself, use the right framework in order to achieve financial freedom, to build a legacy, to change the way you look at the world. And that's what we're trying to do with the KJ movement to really elevate people game. I think that's what's next for me. And then I like being in a position that if I want, I can work 6 months out of the year and then I can give back 6 months out of the year through education or nonprofit work. So I'm having a time of my life right now.
So you mentioned that you have a boot camp and you also mentioned that you have courses. Can you talk to us about that project?
Yes. So we have a virtual boot camp. Actually, it's going to happen on April 17th from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what we do in that course, the number one thing you're going to be able to do is, one, you're going to have access to me and my business partner and also our network. So from our mortgage broker, our lender, our realtor, every in our markets in particular, it's pretty much we're going to show you a glove and you can put your hand on, put your hand in the glove and be ready to go to the next level. The other thing we're going to do is teach you the framework. So we're going to teach you how to analyze a market across the United States and also teach you how to analyze an individual deal. So you're going to walk away with Excel frameworks. And we're going to define terms for you from basic terms to more advanced terms. And when you get done with the course, this will not be like a one night stand. We do not just educate you and just say, you go about our way. We just go to the bank. No, what we're going to do is we're going to check on you once a month for the next 12 months to make sure that you're doing what we taught you and that you're not embarrassing us. Because we want you to become our disciples. So the more successful you are, the more rewarding it is for us because I'm already rich. So it's not like I'm doing this to get rich. I want you to be successful so I can say this is a part of my legacy. I already achieved the wealth. So now I want to educate people on it so they can say, wow, I really decided to take on this challenge. And the reason why we give you a lot of free content on the core, on the page, KJ Consulting IG page, is because that's free. But when you want to go to the next level, I think you need to have skin in the game. And that's why we charge for the course. And so the course is for 4 hours. You're going to get Excel database. You're going to get a time management thing. You're going to get access to us to ask us questions. And we're going to pretty much check on you once a month for the next 12 months. But this one is really the big one. I don't think this one I'm about to explain. We're not going to always offer this. This is going to be the Mastermind Protégé course. And this is very different. The Protégé course is going to be very selective. People from diverse backgrounds, probably like 10 to 20 people. and we're going to meet once a week for 12 weeks. We're going to teach you the framework in order to invest 5 units and up. And at the end of course, it's going to be pretty much like one of those competitions where you have to present to everyone and show us your best idea to invest in a 10 unit, a 12 unit, a 15 unit, or what have you. But what the main thing is that you get the opportunity to invest with KJ Consulting. So you'll be able to invest with Joe and I on our next project over the next 12 to 24 months, because we will get to know you. It's like you went through the dating, but we actually get to know you, and the entire class or half of the class or a part of the class can go in and buy an apartment complex together. And that will be the mastermind course. And so the virtual boot camp, which is going to be on April 17th, that one is for $349. And for your first 5 listeners that sign up, I will do a 30-minute consultation free of charge for the first 5 people that see this, where you can ask me any question. And the mastermind protege course, that one will be $3,000. And that course is the opportunity to invest with us, but also learn about negotiations. We're going to have a real estate agent talk to people. We're going to have our lender talk to people. We're going to have our real estate lawyer talk to people. So that one is a really in-depth type of course. It's like getting your MBA.
Yo, it's the Options Trading Workshop, presented by Tide Capital. Learn the fundamentals and advanced trading strategies that allow us the chance to earn $20,000 in side money in 1 year while working a job and running multiple businesses. That's right. Learn the what, the where, and the how of options trading in this exclusive webinar. To find out more details, hit us up on the link in the bio, on Instagram at PartnerWithMillie, or on Instagram at Todd.Capital, or just head over to Gumroad.com/Todd Capital.
So what kind of people do you think this would be good for? Because it seems like there's 2 levels. Entry level or maybe more seasoned?
Yeah, my entry level and a more seasoned advanced level. So I already have 3 people that are signed up for the mastermind course. And these are people who already own maybe 3 units or 2 units or more. And they want to just elevate their game through maybe doing joint ventures and partnerships or learn how to buy apartment buildings. And the other course is not for people who own anywhere between 0 and up to 7 or 10 units. And the reason why I say that is the virtual bootcamp is interesting. A lot of people out here who own like 5 units, they have natural talent. So they know how to run, they know how to catch, they know how to throw. My job as a coach is to teach you how to throw farther, to teach you how to become a better catcher, and also to teach you how to be a better runner. You have not natural talent, but you haven't achieved your full potential because you don't have a framework to analyze markets across the United States or how to analyze deals across the United States. So what Joe and I do is we bring all our knowledge, my MBA, his CFA, his degree in finance from Notre Dame, my degrees, my real estate license. He has a real estate license, all these years of experience, and try to help you with a framework. So that course is for people who probably have 1 to 10 units. And the other one is for that that person that's just burning inside, that's ready to go to the next level, that have a little bit of real estate experience. I do have some students who have taken our first course and they signed up for the mastermind course because they know that that one probably won't be offered in the future.
Cool. I think that's all I have for you. Is there anything that I haven't touched on that you wanted to touch on before I go to the final questions?
Well, I think that one thing that's neat about KJ Consulting, our IG page, is that on Monday we do Monday Motivations. So that's like just get you fired up on our story. And then on Tuesday, we do a live from at 12 p.m. every Tuesday where you could ask us any question for 30 minutes. We also do Tuesday tips where we give you tips on it could be anything. And then Wednesday we do workout tips and Friday we do financial literacy tips on our story. And we're just always going to hit you with that raw, real, concrete experience. If you read our captions, they're in detail explaining to you what goes on to buy individual houses or apartment buildings and defining terms. What we're trying to do is be an educational center to help people advance their knowledge. So that's something I definitely wanted to highlight. And we also do consultations. So you can just call and click the link in our bio. We're trying to really encourage people to sign up, follow our page, but also sign up on our website because we're going to be dropping knowledge. We're going to do an investor letter where we tell you all the things that we've done to these buildings. So you get to start seeing realistically what's being done by investors who are really at the top of the game.
I'll definitely have all the links in the bio. One question that I did think of is what does retirement look like for you?
Oh my goodness. It's wow. It's so crazy. I was just telling my brother, it's like you literally want to do a cartwheel every day. I can't even do a split arc cartwheel, but that's the way it feels. It's so crazy to be able to wake up. I remember in 2018 when I owned like the 9 units and my annual rent was like $85,000 a year from those 9 properties. Now when I wake up and literally, I kid you not, my monthly rental income is over $85,000 a month. So I went from what I used to make in a year, now I can make it in a month. And it's so crazy. Your bank accounts are so juicy. It's crazy. So what you wake up, you can work out for an hour, 2 hours. You read some books, you talk to your team. Like when I was younger, I used to run run through the real estate streets. Now I run through real estate processes and systems, which means I can do everything from my phone or from my apartment or from anywhere in the world. So that's the beauty of being on vacation, is that you can just tell people, I don't really do calls on the weekend. Or I can't do that. It doesn't fit into my schedule. So now it's pretty cool. You get to really spend your time thinking about how can I add value to my businesses? And also how can I spend time, like go hang out with niece or nephew or some friends? Mm-hmm. It's pretty sick. Sometimes I can't believe it because I'm still in my 30s. I think it's just crazy. But it just shows that anything's possible if we apply ourselves and we have faith and we realize that our community is out there to help us.
Nice. I think it's dope that you accomplished so much during a pandemic when the world was shutting down and you were just going crazy. So much respect to that one. These are going to be the last few questions. Super straightforward. The first one is, who is somebody that you look up to and why?
I think that someone I really, really look up to and why. That is an interesting question because I look up to so many people, which is crazy. But I'm going to pick one because I think it's an everyday person. I would say his name is Mr. Mason, African-American guy who is getting ready to retire from the police force. He grew up in Philly. And I recall he went to Temple and he said as soon as the professor turned his back, was teaching, he said, this was not for me. So he dropped out of college, became a police officer, took care of his wife and children. And he bought a rental property at a young age at like 30. And he told his wife, if she believed in him, he was going to be able to help her retire. And so he's like 61, 62. But when she turned, she's younger than him. When she turned like 55 or what have you, he said, babe, you don't have to work again. And so I think that story is amazing because he started with that one property. He owns about 18 properties, almost all free and clear in the Philadelphia area. And I think that is just so inspiring that you don't necessarily have to go to college or have all these fancy degrees or licenses in order to be a successful investor and create financial freedom for you and your loved ones. So I find him as very inspiring.
What's your favorite business or real estate book?
I don't really have a favorite real estate book. I would say the book when I was 14 years old or 13 years old that really changed my life was Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And a lot of people know the Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, but this is a Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And what the author does, I believe his name is Dennis Kimball, is he uses African-American stories like Oprah and all of them, overcoming odds and changing one's mindset and motivating one and inspire one. And so for me, once I was able to change my mindset, and we talk about this in a course, you're able to elevate your game in places that you've never even imagined. So I think Think and Grow Choice taught me a lot. One thing it taught me is that in order to do something that you have never done, you have to become someone that you have never been. And I'm going to say that again. In order to do something that you have never done, you have to become someone that you've never been. And so that mindset was big. So that was my book.
Yeah. So that's a really good book. And I think it makes a difference when you read it because it definitely changes your mindset. So if you read it when you're younger, when you still have so much ahead of you, it gives you an advantage as opposed to somebody who might read it later on in life. I mean, whenever you read it, it's going to be impactful. But I mean, to have read that at 13 and 14, I can only imagine. I didn't read that book until like late 20s. So, yeah. What sets apart successful investors from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
So I think that successful investors, one thing I and especially in real estate, there are, I think you need two or three things to be successful in real estate. And the three things are, one, you got to have grit or perseverance. You got to be willing to push through. The other thing is that you got to have knowledge. The other thing is that you got to have money. So you only need two of the three. So if you just have, you just have the knowledge and you have the grit, you could be successful. You just have the knowledge, you have the money, you could be successful. So I think that the successful investor, they understand that you only need two of those three items to be successful. I think the person that tends to give up is the person that lacks knowledge, or the person that lacks grit, or the person that is just uncomfortable with change. And I think that when you're really uncomfortable with change, that's the reason why you give up. The people are uncomfortable with change. For example, you thought you were going to buy this house, but it was a, something happened where the contractor didn't do what he said he was going to do. So you just give up. But if you understand that change is the only constant, then you're going to keep going. And I think the successful investor understands that change is the only constant. And the person that is not successful, they're always looking for a reason to quit, looking for the easy way out. So I think that that is what distinguishes the good investor from the one that gives up.
Nice. So like I said earlier, we will have all the links to all of their social media, as well as their different courses and materials in the bio and the show notes, rather. Where can they find you? Where can they follow you? And where can they support what you have going on?
So as you can see with the shirt and the poster, it's KJ Consulting, our IG page. And in the bio, you can click on our link to our website and subscribe to our email. So you can always be updated on what we're doing. We're out there trying to change the game, educate you, have you laughing, boxing. We're just coming for you. So if you want to get hip and you want to learn the game, I'm telling you, we're not just the best looking. We're actually well educated.
Awesome, man. Thank you. This is episode, I'm not sure which episode this is, but Donald the Voice will make sure we get that in there. But thank you guys all for listening. Make sure you leave us a rating or a view. Make sure you leave us a 5-star rating. We like 5-star ratings. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Todd.Capital, at Todd Billion, and at Rashana Scott, who could not make it tonight. But she missed out on a powerful interview. I'm sure she definitely would. I'm going to make her feel bad for missing this one. But my name is Charles Oglesby, signing off.
What's going on, podcast listeners? This is your man, Donald the Voice, the official editor and podcast producer of the Oglesby and Scott Show. And listen, I just had to come in and tell you that we appreciate your listenership, and I want to give you a special offer for listening to this podcast. If you have voiceover, podcast, or video editing needs, let's talk. You can go over to donaldthevoice.com/contact, and I'll be happy to talk with you about what you need and how I can serve you. You want to sound good and look good so that people can feel good and do good as a result of listening or watching your content, and I'm here to help you make that happen. So let's talk. Go over to donaldthevoice.com/contact, and we'll talk. Have a good rest of the day, evening, morning, whatever time it is, and I'll talk to you soon.